It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Let me welcome you once again to the radio program, It's a Good Life. Well, today we're going to continue our study in the book of Romans, and we're going to look at Romans chapter 9, verses 14 through, well, wherever we get today. And I've got it separated here at verse 23. We may get there, or we may not. We may stop along the way and just have some things to speak of that I haven't planned on, but the Lord knows. And possibly the Lord will call things to my attention that we need to discuss today. Well, last time we left off in Romans chapter 9, and we had briefly discussed verses 11 and 13. All those verses say this, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil." Now, of course, it's talking here about Isaac and Jacob and all those people that we've read about in the Old Testament, Abraham's children. And it says that they had done no good or evil. It goes on to say that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And verse 12 says, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Well, let me remind you that God's purpose and choice, what he chooses, not based upon works. His choice today is not based upon works, neither was it in the Old Testament. He chooses that all men and women are to be saved. Well, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know that John 3:16 talks about that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, or who would believe on him, would not perish but have everlasting life. Well, so God wants everybody to be saved. But he wants us to know that it's not by works that he saves people. Now I call to your attention verse 11. God is creator of all and needs no human justification for his actions. Well, that's Romans chapter 9, verse 11. We also see that it is his prerogative to choose whomever he will. We can be confident that his purpose is good and holy. Whether or not we understand it now, it's our responsibility simply to trust and thank him. He does choose individuals for certain jobs, not to be saved, but for certain jobs he calls people to do. Well, the Bible says there are differences in administrations. And just as the body is made up of many members, so is the body of Christ. And so are the people who make up the body of Christ. You see, there are many members, and each one has a different calling. In other words, God chooses certain people for certain things so that the work can be done. So we need to understand, first of all, that God is no respecter of persons when it comes to things of God. He wants everybody to be saved. He's no respecter of persons. Really, when he chooses someone to do a specific job, it's not that he is a respecter of that person over or above another person. It's that that person has been chosen to do a specific job for him in the local church and the body of Christ. Well, let's look now at Romans chapter 9 and verse 14. And we see here in verses 14 through 23, the true children of God are the objects of God's mercy. In verses 14 through 16, it says, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." Being a true child of God is possible only through his mercy. And once again, it's not by works, but it's according to his grace. It's by his mercy that's what verses 14 through 16 are talking about. And in verse 15, this was said to Moses in response to Moses' request to see the glory of God in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 19. Well, since there are none who merit salvation, there are none who are fit or who can make themselves fit to be in God's immediate presence. Therefore, it is entirely by God's mercy that any at all are saved. We know that He surely has the divine right by creation to show mercy on whomever He will, according to Romans chapter 9, verse 16. And we look at verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, "Therefore the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh." Once again, Paul's talking about individuals. Now he's calling attention to the people here, different things that took place in the Old Testament. He says, "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth." We see in these verses, verses 17 and 18, Pharaoh was shown to be the object of God's wrath and mercy. We often think it was just his wrath, but he showed mercy in his dealings with Pharaoh as well. Verse 17, note here that Paul equates the word spoken by God with Scripture. In Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16, some would have you believe that we do not look at the Old Testament, that we cannot read that as the Word of God. Well, there's a lot of people who do not believe that the Old Testament should be used today for those of us who are living, but the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, and for the for instruction that we can learn what God has for us to learn from the book, the whole book, the Bible. You can't just choose part of it. You must take it all. It's all the inspired Word of God. Now, in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16, it says this, "And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up." Well, it's talking about Pharaoh again now. "For to show in thee my power," God says to Pharaoh, "and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." God was using Pharaoh, and Pharaoh didn't even realize it. He was using Pharaoh to show his mercy. In verses 19 through 23, now we see that God's right is to choose the object of his mercy and his wrath. He can choose whomever he wants. In verses 19 through 23, it says, "Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault?" In other words, if he's doing the choosing, why is he finding fault? It goes on to say, "For who hath resisted his will?" Well, verse 20 goes on to say, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who are you to question God?" Well, but Paul is saying, "Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" Verse 21, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" Verse 22, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" Verse 23 says, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared into glory." We often look at the things that God did in the Old Testament and even carried on through the New Testament, and we wonder why he does certain things. We don't know everything about God. If we knew everything about God, then we would be God. God knows everything. Well, Paul was trying to get across to these people that God knows what's going on. He knows what he's doing. He's the one who makes the decisions and not man. Man cannot decide whether or not another person is saved or lost. It's all of God. A person is saved by trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him to save him so he can go to heaven. Romans chapter 9, verses 24 through 29, we see there that the true children of God are both the Jews and the Gentiles. And once again, God makes no difference as long as that person has trusted Jesus as Savior. Not of Jews only, as foretold by O.C., this would be Hosea. Let's read verses 24 through 26 of chapter 9 here, and we'll see these things. It says, "Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in O.C." Now, this is another name for Hosea in the Old Testament. Remember, Paul quotes the Old Testament quite a bit in the book of Romans. He says, "I will call them my people, which were not my people." Well, here he's talking about the Gentiles. And he goes on to say, "and her beloved, which was not beloved." And verse 26 goes on to say, "And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." Well, now, of course, in Hosea chapter 2, verses 22, chapter 2, verse 23, it talks about this, and it says, "I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God." Well, he's speaking of the Gentiles here. And what Paul is doing in the book of Romans for the church at Rome is letting those Jewish people who were saved, who had come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, he was letting them know that the Gentiles were saved the same way they were. He was letting the Gentiles know that the Jews were saved the same way they are. In other words, he's telling us, and he's telling them in the book of Romans, there is no difference. There is neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul was trying to let these people understand that there was nobody favored above another person when it comes to salvation. And in verse 25, although Hosea was speaking of the remnant Israel, Paul was writing under the Spirit's inspiration. It applies the same principle to God's calling of a remnant of the Gentiles as well. And you can read Hosea chapter 1, verse 9 in connection with that. Well, as we study further in this book, Romans chapter 9, verses 27 through 29, we're told only a small percentage of Israel, as told by Isaiah, will be saved. In Romans chapter 9, verse 27 and through 29, it says, "Esaias," which is Isaiah, "also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved." In other words, only a small percentage would be saved. Verse 28, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will be the Lord, will the Lord make upon the earth." Verse 29, "And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah." Well, do you know him as your Savior today? He wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. Why not call upon him today? "Lord, have mercy on me and come into my heart." Get serious with God and he'll get serious with you. We'll continue studying in the book of Romans on our next program. And may the Lord bless you richly is my prayer. Lord, lift me up.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.